kid Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time we come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yup.
Either go to church or you're gonna go to hell.
Get a job. Welcome back. Go to jail. Top of the second hour. Today is Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Tuesday, October 24th, 2023. I'm just sort of, I don't know. It's a rant of sorts. I'll get back to the other stuff that I mentioned earlier. But, you know, we're watching things happen, like replays of things. You know, what is happening to the Palestinian people, or, you know, the people in Gaza, is the same thing that happened to the people in Maui. This is the same thing that happened to the indigenous people in the contiguous lower 48 and beyond. And now, you know, when COVID started, the COVID shenanigans really broke out. I said, we're all going to get the Africa treatment, the India treatment, the Palestinian treatment. And it's amazing how we allow ourselves to, be induced to hug our kidnapper all the time. Maybe team up with our kidnapper. You know what? Who are you to talk bad about my kidnapper? It's amazing. You know, there are more and more bear sightings across the country, more and more, you know, confrontations between bears and people. What is happening? What's happening is their food supply is being destroyed. So the berries and things, you know, that they eat, other than, you know, the other stuff, they're omnivores after all. Those things are being destroyed. Those are things that the other animals eat. The people, you know, speaking of Montana, in the Rockies and that Cabinet Mountain wilderness area that I mentioned earlier, people go pick huckleberries. You know, they pick huckleberries, they pick mushrooms and all kinds of stuff. That's been normal for a long time, but the fires have, you know, touched that area in recent years as well. And sometimes it's good for some things, but ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, you might say, it destroys the food supply. Or it, you know, has a significant impact on it. And the bears, you know, grizzly bears, my understanding is they can have a range of around 600 miles, which is crazy. I mean, they can travel, I don't know, 100 miles at night while you're sleeping. They're traveling to the next state or something. And so, you know, they cover some ground. But again, for them, it's all about energy invested versus returned, and not engaging in diminishing or negative energy return. And like I said, I mean, you know, you can jump on YouTube, for example, and see videos of, I mean, you know, you think of an elk as a pretty large, powerful, intimidating animal, and it is, but for a bear, I mean, so what? You know, you're gonna come at me with that big rack, I'm just gonna push your head down and incapacitate you real quick. If you try to escape in the water, bears swim pretty well. Good luck. And so, you know, to see a bear kill a 700 or 800 pound, you know, giant muscle, and then carry it off by itself in its mouth like it was nothing. I'm pretty sure he's not afraid of little old you or me, or all of us together. And so there are more and more sightings. You can jump online and see them from Arizona all the way up into Montana and beyond, and even back east. People are seeing more bears. There are more of these encounters and confrontations and things, and it's getting interesting. I think it's a sign of the times. I think the, you know, their environment, their habitat, or, you know, their food supply certainly have been dramatically impacted by the cycles of fire and flood in recent years. And so now, and I think that their populations have been increasing in ways that we are not being told. And so, you know, you start thinking about all this stuff. You go back 100 years, 80 years, certainly, speaking of the New Deal era. You know, Stuart Chase was the author, literally, of the New Deal. Speaking of the kings of the earth and their, you know, pontiffs, their poobahs. Why do you want to manage everything in technocratic fashion? Well, because if you want to nudge people here or there, influence here or there, persuade here or there, you can do it in plausibly deniable ways. We didn't do anything. This was natural. Look, the water dried up there. There were some fires over there. Then there were some floods here. And this happened. And then, I mean, maybe you can push people into the areas that the Maurice Strongs want. For what purpose, ultimately? So that you can finish the Genesis 11 redo. Seems to be happening right before our very eyes. The little towns that were built on timber and mining, for example, like the one I was born in, are slowly dying. What can sustain them? Tourism? So we're going to turn everything into a vacation rental? Everything's going to, you know, we're going to Airbnb it. Now that's a verb. VRBO is not VRBO, it's verbo, and that's a verb. It's ridiculous. And people don't realize they're cutting their own throats. They're going to do exactly what the World Economic Forum said. You know, you'll rent everything. So they're going to basically, those homes now are not something that the average person can rent long term. The rent goes through the roof. Oh, by the way, you know, you're generating a significant amount of revenue. Here comes the tax man. And guess what? That economic footprint cannot sustain those numbers. It's untenable. What's going to happen? Just like the subprime so-called, you know, contagion, it's engineered. Pretty diabolically brilliant. So October 24, the 2009 U.S. bank closure reached 100. I remember back then, the site that I was thinking of is called the Mortgage Lender Implodometer. The Implodometer. And you can find it at, I mentioned it way back when, the early days of this show. It was ML, as in mortgage lender, ML dash or hyphen implode. .com. And they say still to this day, we tallied 388 mortgage company implosions from 2006. And I remember this moment around October 24, 2009, where the number just, like, you know, first it was a few, like the one I ended up going to work for a company called Decision One Mortgage, which was multi-billion dollar mortgage lender that the guy who started it sold it to HSBC for, I think, $11 billion or something like that. And back then we were like, wow, that's really something. Back when that many billions was something. And I went to the annual meeting or whatever. And, you know, he was talking about how he had, you know, sold it to HSBC and the future was bright and all of that. And shortly thereafter, the company ceased to exist as part of this implosion. And the, like I said, $25 trillion, $10 trillion in the U.S. alone evaporating overnight. You could see the writing on the wall. So anyway, October 24, 2009, speaking of this day in history, 100 banks, ML implodometer says 388 total from 2006. There was also the H1N1 nonsense. Do we remember that? I did a whole big deal on that. There were the vaccine injuries and the lawsuits and the payouts. It was only like $65 million bucks. Did you know, by the way, that Jay Bhattacharya posted on Twitter recently, new FDA preprint study, active surveillance system finds elevated risk of seizures in toddlers and myocarditis in teenagers associated with COVID mRNA vaccination. Jay Bhattacharya, he's pretty smart guy. And he links to the study and the relevant information. Safety of monovalent BNT162B2, Pfizer BioNTech or BioNTech, however you say it, mRNA 1273, Moderna, and NVX-COV2373, Novavax, COVID-19 vaccines in U.S. children aged 6 months to 17 years. I guess it turns out Barack Obama was right. You're all a bunch of guinea pigs. That fool gets it right once in a while, huh? We should play that clip. Maybe I'll dig that out. Vaccines in U.S. children aged 6 months to 17 years. We experimented on children. But then, you know, again, speaking of the conspiracy, right out, and how horrifying, how wild and dystopic. Well, you know, from time to time we talk about how the modern allopathic medical system came to be, funded by Rockefeller types and born, how do I say this gently, out of the horrors of World War, the most grotesque and gruesome atrocities you can imagine, is the birth of modern allopathic medicine. People say, oh, that's not true. Oh, no, it is. Absolutely. Things like Unit 731, I've talked about in the past. Japan's Unit 731. Basically, modern allopathic medicine is born out of, you know, war crimes. Vivisection and, you know, amputation and those. I mean, I'm not going to. You can look it up for yourself if you're not familiar. That's modern allopathic medicine. No wonder they're doing the same thing. You read about it and you're like, wow, in that context, in the context of war crimes, it's horrifying. But then if you can separate yourself from that and just look at what they were doing, compare that to same things that are happening at places like Walter Reed. I mean, slightly different, obviously, different circumstances. Now we've engineered a system, like I've talked about before, where we send brave young people overseas and, you know, blow parts off with IEDs and then send them back to Walter Reed. And it's not a war crime. Oh, it's benevolent. It's, you know, they're doing a good thing. Are they? What is the ultimate purpose of those things? Speaking of those kinds of things and the birth of modern medicine, you know, there's the history of the so-called Spanish flu, which wasn't the Spanish flu. There was what was it? Is it Contagion X? That was the recent. I mean, that was wasn't it Contagion X? And that's a song, right? I think. We were looking for Contagion X recently, which is interesting. X is an interesting, esoteric, plausibly deniable bad guy signal, I think. Anyway, I'm far afield at this point. I need to get back on track. So in response to Jay Bhattacharya's tweet, the folks at Team Reality CT, I think that's, is that Connecticut, posted, have you seen this? The student declaration pays homage to you, Martin Kulldorff, and Sinetra Gupta, for the Great Barrington Declaration, GBD, launched on the same day 3 years later. So parenthetically, 3 years later, you know, pays tribute to you guys. And so there's a student declaration, studentdeclaration2023.org is the site, and it says Student Declaration 2023, a statement by students against past, present, and future mandates in order that the grievous harms and losses of the past 3 years of COVID-19 mandates are not repeated again. No more mandates. And so Jay Bhattacharya responds, where is that? I just signed. Great work. Awesome. On October 23rd, 2023, speaking of this day in history, but, you know, this was yesterday, students, faculty, staff, and community members across the world are invited to download, print, and distribute physical copies of the Declaration throughout their campuses and local communities. And I suppose here is a good point to say again, as I said last week, speaking of Carol Quigley, you know, Quigley was the guy who said that it takes three things to win elections. The mythology of American democracy. The three key factors, he said, in elections are money, organization, and enthusiasm. If you have two of them, you can win. Students may not have much money, but they can organize, and they are enthusiastic. So, if it's in, you know, if it's a good thing, if it's a legitimate, organic, non-COINTELPRO thing, A, hats off to you, and B, beware of COINTELPRO. Was it, who was it, Lenin or Stalin who said, the best way to control the opposition is to lead it or create it, you know, if you have to. So, where to post and who to give the declaration too. These are college students, aren't they? Isn't it to whom? Where to post and to whom? Not who to give the declaration to? No. Anyway, we suggest leaving copies on tables in study, dining, and communal areas. Post copies on bulletin boards. Hand a copy to your school administrators, president, vice president, deans, and assistant deans, and department heads. Contact your school newspaper to see if they will run a print of the declaration. But again, I mean, kind of like bears and the, you know, energy invested returned. You know, Mark Twain's cornpone opinions. Tell me where a man gets his cornpone, I'll tell you what his opinions is. Where do the universities get their cornpone? The endowments and, you know, yeah. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Einstein once said, future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special.
Tuition is expensive at these universities. The university is a Platonic concept. Plato's Republic. Congratulations. Welcome to Plato's Republic, a.k.a. The American proxy, the extension of, the Fabian agenda. And anyway, you think the tuition is expensive. I'll give you some numbers. Harvard University, with its $49-plus billion endowment as of FY 2022, is considered the wealthiest university in the world, $49 billion. And then you have, so from the Wikipedia entry titled List of Colleges and Universities in the United States by Endowment, under the section Enhancements and Levies, The tabulated data below are from NACUBO, the National Association of College and University Business Officers. Some universities benefit from endowments that are not under their direct control, do you think? But which are nonetheless dedicated to the welfare of one or several institutions. Examples of these foundations include the Duke Endowment, the Robert A. Welch Foundation, and the Roy J. Carver Charitable Trust. This might be an opportune moment to say, if you do support RBN, thank you. And if you don't, please consider supporting RBN, because there is no Duke Endowment, Robert A. Welch Foundation, or Roy J. Carver Charitable Trust grant to RBN, if you know what I mean. There's no Ford Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation, Knight Foundation, MacArthur, etc. No grants, probably because our efforts here are inimical to those. And just to sort of punctuate this point from Quigley's lecture on the mythology of American democracy and the immortality of the corporations, he said, so, you know, to win elections, three things are essential to elections: money, organization, enthusiasm. So he said, so money is one of the great threats to democracy. A second threat is what Roman law called persona ficta, fictitious persons, corporations, labor unions, and similar organizations which have the legal status of persons. Remember, Ralph Winterroad used to remind us all the time, it's 553, 5 USC, I think 553. Is it 551 or 553? 553. Anyway, legal status of persons in the sense that they can buy and sell property. They can sue and be sued in the courts. They are generally anonymous. They are certainly irresponsible. They're soulless, I would add. And they're increasingly powerful. The 15th Amendment and various court rulings have given corporations all the rights of living persons. Again, 5 USC, 551 or 53, I forget which. This is dangerous because they already have certain rights that real persons don't have, principally immortality. That's the saving grace about even the worst scoundrel. Someday he will die. And maybe we can wait that long. We felt that way about Hitler and Stalin. Maybe Mao is different. We'll see. Again, this was back in 1972. Quigley gave this lecture. But a corporation never dies. It has the first quality of divinity, as the ancient Greeks defined it. They called their gods the immortals because the only quality they had that set them apart from men was that they never died. Besides setting limits on corporate immortality, we must put other restraints upon all fictitious persons, including foundations and universities and all such entities. I suppose now some people would remind me to mention Renee Wormser's foundations, their power and influence. You know, Renee Wormser from the Reese Committee. From 1890, Quigley went on, there was competition among the states to lower the restraints on corporations. Originally, when a corporation was set up, its charter specified what it was entitled to do, sell hamburgers to the public or whatever. Today, there are no restrictions, no restraints, no reporting. Even the Congress can't find out what are the actual costs, expenditures, and profits of the automobile manufacturers, whose profits are incredibly high, and yet they're going to raise their prices even higher. So in addition to Quigley and Wormser, I would add Jefferson. The earth belongs in usufruct to the living. The dead have neither rights nor powers over it. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm on to something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up, with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was quickie koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, you know.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Back. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Tuesday, October 24th, 2023. Like I said, if you have not yet, please support the network. Your support is greatly appreciated. Again, there's no Duke Endowment, no Robert A. Welch Foundation, no Roy J. Carver Charitable Trust grant that will grant RBN immortality. Quite the contrary. You know, it's the long war. It's a war of attrition. And we live in a system that has rigged all of the possible metrics on the side of infamy. Really, Lark in Texas reminds us that, you know, these minions have figured out that in the absence of certainty, probability will do. And it actually works better because it brings along with it the element of plausible deniability. You know, if you engineer a vaccine as a bioweapon, or you know, you have a thing and an alleged vaccine, a so-called vaccine, as maybe parts of a binary weapon or something like that, but you don't kill everybody. And you don't do it immediately, you know, you can trickle it out. You know, some fall over dead now, like the healthy young athletes who just fall over on the field. But not everyone. And then, you know, some get myocarditis and, you know, seizures in toddlers, myocarditis in teenagers. Oh, we only found out about that after the fact, you know, like Jay Bhattacharya is saying about the new FDA preprint study. But it's not everybody. You know, it's, and then there's the acceptable level of risk. I mean, what is the number exactly? What is it? There is no number. Well, it's an acceptable level of risk. Says who? Who defines terms there? Because I'm pretty sure, you know, if I went around killing people in the name of the greater good, no matter how many people it was, whether it was 1 or 1,000, nobody would think that there was an acceptable level of risk. Yet somehow we get seduced into this insanity. It's an acceptable level of risk until it's your child or your loved one. And then all of a sudden, all bets are off. There is no legitimate number. Funny how that works. So it's the long war, you know, and during the same time that the subprime nonsense was going on that I described earlier in today's broadcast, at the same time, the inheritance rules were being changed, massaged, revised, so that it was becoming increasingly difficult for people to pass things on to posterity. The Bible says that we're supposed to do that. We leave something for our children, and if you're really good, something for your grandchildren. And I believe people want to do that. You know, you should be inclined to save something. Again, the Bible encourages saving, but in this Ponzi scheme of an economic system that we have, the more you save, the more you're penalized for doing so. Robert Kiyosaki, you know, talks about how Rich Dad says that savers are punished in this system. And, you know, there's the whole first money game nonsense. But, you know, you have to go to special places like Wharton and London School of the Fabian Socialist London School of Economics to learn those things. Otherwise, you know, most people have no idea. We just think, apples to apples, and, you know, it's all the same stuff. And nope. The paraphrasing of de Balzac's axiom, behind every great fortune there is a crime. And how did he put it? If I can. Where is it? Why not, since we're on it? The secret of great fortunes without apparent cause is a crime forgotten, for it was properly done. So that's the The secret of great fortunes without apparent cause is a crime forgotten, for it was properly done. Thomas Jefferson, the earth belongs in usufruct to the living. Princeton seems to have forgotten Jefferson's paper, his letter to Madison, September 6th, I think it was, 1789. Yeah. Why was Jefferson in France, by the way? And, you know, speaking of Illuminized plots, wasn't Jefferson a good pal with the Marquis de Lafayette and other Illuminized intriguers? Weishaupt himself, he was a sympathizer. Yeah, you know, he seems like a decent guy to me. I don't know. Maybe he's up to no good. Maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, Jefferson to Madison, September 6, 1789. The earth belongs in usufruct to the living. The dead have neither powers nor rights over it. The portion occupied by any individual ceases to be his when he himself ceases to be and reverts to the society. If the society has formed no rules, well, you know, the Rhodes contingent sweeps in and they will agglomerate wealth, you know, and that's what the foundations and stuff are doing. You know, it gets directed in immortality and perpetuity to wherever Cecil Rhodes and, you know, the guys that formed that secret society that Carol Quigley wrote about and, you know, wrote the book Anglo-American Establishment, that whole thing. It goes where they want, but in ways that most people don't perceive. And so, is it really happening? Yeah, it's really happening. The secret of great fortunes without apparent cause is a crime forgotten, for it was properly done. And the fortune keeps growing, by the way, tax deferred or tax exempt. So back to a list of colleges and universities in the United States by endowment, because this is back to the kids who are trying to do a thing. Hopefully it's legit. The Student Declaration of 2023. Just no kids. You know what? We won't attend your institution of higher learning. Well, tuitions are, you know, not guaranteed. Student tuition is not guaranteed, quote unquote, but endowments are, providing the Platonic universities toe the Fabian establishment line, right? So endowments greater than $1 billion. Private schools, Harvard tops the list, $49.444 billion that we know of. And again, like I read earlier, you know, the Wikipedia entry even says some universities benefit from endowments that are not under their direct control, but which are nonetheless dedicated to the welfare of one or several institutions. So let's see. What did Carol Quigley say? Even the Congress can't find out what the actual costs, expenditures, and profits of the automobile manufacturers are, whose profits are incredibly high, and yet they're going to raise their prices even higher. Ron Paul was lobbying to audit the Fed. I was saying it was a put-up job because, you know, they went through their FSAP audit. That was the one Road Warrior Radio video, YouTube video that I ever made. There was supposed to be a part two, never happened, but, you know, whatever. Anyway, Carol Quigley said originally there were restrictions, corporate restrictions, but, you know, it was the camel's nose under the tent. When a corporation was set up, its charter specified what it was entitled to do, sell hamburgers to the public or whatever. Today, there are no restrictions, no restraints, no reporting. Even Wikipedia says some universities benefit from endowments that are not under their direct control, but which are nonetheless dedicated to the welfare of one or several institutions. These soulless organizations that are immortal, like Carol Quigley mused, I would say. They have gained the Greek status of divinity, immortality. Man, what would happen if the corporations went away immediately? The fortunes would wash out like, I don't know, the subprime contagion. All that liquidity, gone. All of your nonsense, you know, gone. Things would, and, you know, for that matter, the Federal Reserve Charter would evaporate and expire. Gone. You go back and you read guys like Andrew Jackson and the cycles of boom and bust that are created by all of this speculation that results from the paper currency, and all of that would go away. We'd get back to life as usual. There's a documentary this reminds me of. Apparently, I haven't seen it, but from what I understand, it's a Netflix thing. So what's wrong with it? I don't know exactly. We'll see. Can anything good come from Netflix? Probably not. But it's called... maybe you've seen it. I have not. Live to 100, Secrets of the Blue Zone. So this gentleman, Dan Buettner, is it? I don't know. Travels around the world to discover five unique communities where people live extraordinarily long and vibrant lives. And so he identifies some key elements. I'm not familiar what they all are. Probably find it if I search for it real fast. But let me see. Maybe I can just do that real fast. People live to be 100. Not that you want to do that per se, but so what are these habits? Here's the Netflix article on it. They are as simple as opting for a mechanical gadget rather than an automatic one, as pleasurable as having a glass of wine in the evening to unwind, or as intuitive as knowing what your purpose is in life and choosing to fulfill it every single day. So let's see. Take a look at the 12 patterns that emerge from the blue zones and find ways to integrate them. Making movement a habit by hand, walk, garden. So the article says making movement a habit, a positive outlook is everything, eating wisely, connect with others as often as possible. What happened through COVID, by the way? And one of the best ways to make people, to weaken them psychologically, to make them more susceptible to psychological warfare and conditioning and propaganda, is to separate them, to isolate them physically, metaphorically, make them suggestible. It's one of the, you know, it's psych warfare 101. Connect with others, family first, partnership, right tribe. What are the blue zones? Anyway, so there's the circle, move naturally, outlook, eat wisely, connect. So what's happening in America? The opposite of these things. There's a gentleman that I know personally, a dear friend. Ironically, the same time I was hearing about this Netflix documentary, Live to 100, Secrets of the Blue Zones, this gentleman is sending me pictures. He's like, hey, it was, what does it say? It was a productive day on the little homestead. And, you know, it is both. It is a little homestead. It's probably bigger than most people have, but it's not that big, really. And man, what they have done, what he and his lovely wife have done, it's amazing. Amazing. They're living the good life. They got a blue zone at their house, apparently, because holy cow, man. Wow. Just incredible. So, you know, it's interesting how thinking about, you know, just like I mentioned the Concord deal this day in history, you know, 20 years ago, the last commercial Concord flight flew. we were excited to fly. There's an article that I was thinking of. In relation to the Concorde story. Let me see if I can find that real fast. It's an interesting, where is that? Yeah. Flying Magazine, flyingmag.com. Jeff Berlin wrote an article published today. October 24 marks 20 years since final scheduled Concorde flights. The supersonic airliner made its final transatlantic commercial voyage from New York to London in October 2003. Paris is always a good idea, quote unquote. Though Audrey Hepburn didn't actually deliver that line in her 1954 film Sabrina, it's widely attributed to her, and having lived in Paris for 3 years, I couldn't agree more, et cetera, et cetera. It says, you know, never need an excuse to go, but it's, you know, it's always a good day. But one day in April 2000, Paris became a great idea. One April day, Paris became the best idea ever as I booked myself on Air France flights AF001 and AF002 aboard Concorde for a round trip from New York's JFK to Paris's Charles de Gaulle Airport. To see a flight on Concorde was unlike one on any other commercial aircraft is an understatement. Anyway, it's, you know, his article is abuzz with excitement. It's a great article, I think. I mean, in that respect, I appreciate it. And I don't know about you, but I remember when we used to go to the airports, it was fun to go to the airport without all the TSA crap, without the getting to second base nonsense, as Melissa Dykes would say over at True Stream Media. You know, with things that would be considered criminal in any other sort of context. You know, take off your shoes and your belts, all this kind of stuff. Why are we getting on trains? Where are we going? So, you know, back in the day, most of us probably remember, listening to this broadcast, probably just about everybody remembers, maybe better than I, we used to be excited to go to the airport and greet people. Yay, it's so exciting. The kids would come, you know, the little kids, like families would show up. You got the little ones, the older little ones standing there, the little ones you're holding. Everybody's, yay, probably signs, Grandma, we're so glad to see you, all that kind of stuff. Grandma's here, yay. The grandkids are all excited. They would rush to, you know, grab Grandma and Grandpa. It was great. And those days are gone, sadly, like the Concorde. Now, where are we? We're fear-stricken. Why? Because we are constantly just submerged. We marinate. We're steeped in this fear porn, COVID-style fear porn. And where's this going? It's not. We're not at a stopping point. We're on a continuum. So coming full circle, I began today's broadcast, you know, talking about some things. I didn't get to everything. Maybe I'll hold some of the stuff over for tomorrow. But I said, you know, how could things get significantly better? How can things change significantly for the better at this point? And I mentioned three Bible verses, synoptic gospel agreement, basically. Matthew 19:26, these are all King James. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Mark 10:27, and Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. all gods are not created equal. I was reading Isaiah 43 in particular this morning along those lines, which is, you know, the territory is similar. You read on, you know, reminds me of Isaiah 46, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, Isaiah 43, God's like, I looked around. There were none before me. There will be none after me. I didn't see any. Where are they? There are none. That's where they are. There are none. There's just me. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the creator of heaven and earth. The universe. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Anyway, finally, Luke 18:27, and he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And I would just say, we'll go to the phones real quick for a couple of phone calls. This friend that I'm talking about, looking at these pictures of what he and his lovely wife have been able to accomplish, they did it, but they did it with God. And they continue to try to draw closer and closer to him. It's not a weird life. It's nothing weird. They're both extremely well-informed. They're very gracious, very humble, wonderful people. And we should all be living a life as wonderful as theirs. And to see, I mean, just if I could imagine that we all have a garden, for example, that's as bountiful and plentiful as what they have, we would all have plenty. It would be an abundant life to share with one another. And I dare say probably the bears in the, wilderness ecosystem, so to speak, would not be suffering either. The Bible talks about that too, by the way, that even the land suffers when we're not doing right. Enough about that. Well, we're running out of time. My apologies to the phones. James in Vancouver, thanks for calling. Welcome. You have James?
Piece of another aircraft.
Yeah.
Fell onto the runway, and nobody decided to pick up the piece. And then Concorde ran over it, and then Concorde crashed. When all it was the sustainability program starting after 911. Back to you.
And, you know, full stop.
And banks never crash. That's a coincidence, a quinky dinky. That's all a coincidence.
Oh, yeah.
It isn't the Rothschilds that make them crash. No. I'll get back to you tomorrow.
Of course not.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Much appreciated, James. Ken, can we do Ken for a few, like, 20 seconds?
Yes, so much to say, but... Yeah. If you don't talk about Christ, the rocks and stones will cry out. Yep. Talk to you tomorrow.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Much appreciated to you both. And that's it, you know. That's it. I hope it was informative, perhaps even edifying, and encouraging, maybe even. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. Truth, truth.